एक
ओंकार
ओंकार
सतनाम
सतनाम
कर्ता पुरख
कर्ता
निरपौ निर्वैर
पुरख
अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभं
अजूनी
गुर
सैभं
प्रसाद
गुर
जप
प्रसाद
आद सच जुगाद सच है पी सच नानक होसी पी सच
एक
एक ओंकार सतनाम
नाम
कर्ता
कर्ता
पुरख
निरपौ
निरपौ निर्वैर
अकाल
अकाल मूरत
मूरत
अजूनी
अजूनी
सैभं
सैभं
गुर
गुर
प्रसाद
प्रसाद
जप
जप आद
आद सच
सच
जुगाद
जुगाद सच
सच है
है पी
पी सच
सच
नानक
नानक होसी
होसी पी
पी
सच
सच
एक
एक ओंकार
ओंकार सतनाम
सतनाम
कर्ता
कर्ता
पुरख
पुरख
निरपौ
निरपौ
निर्वैर
निर्वैर
अकाल
अकाल
मूरत अजूनी
अजूनी
सैभं
सैभं
गुर
गुर
प्रसाद जप
आद
आद सच
सच
जुगाद सच
जुगाद
है पी सच नानक होसी पी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम कर्ता पुरख निरपौ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभं गुर प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है पी सच नानक होसी
होसी
पी सच एक
एक
ओंकार
ओंकार
सतनाम कर्ता
कर्ता
पुरख
निरपौ
निरपौ
निर्वैर
निर्वैर अकाल
अकाल
मूरत
मूरत
अजूनी
अजूनी सैभं
सैभं
गुर
गुर
प्रसाद
प्रसाद
जप
जप
आद
आद
सच
सच जुगाद
जुगाद
सच
सच
है
है
पी
पी सच
सच नानक
नानक
होसी
होसी
पी
पी
सच
सच
वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे
वाणी गुरु गुरु
गुरु है
है
बाणी
बाणी
विच
विच
बाणी अमृत सारे
सारे
गुरबाणी
कह
कहे सेवक जन माने पर तख गुरु निसतारे
सारे अमृत
बाणी
बाणी
हर
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 तेरी सुन
सुन सुन
सुन जो
हो
है
परम
परम गत
गत
मेरी
मेरी
जलन
जलन
बुझी
बुझी
शीतल
शीतल
होए
होए
मनवा
मनवा
सतगुर
सतगुर
का
का
दर्शन
दर्शन
पाए
पाए
जियो
जियो
फिरत
फिरत
प्रभ
प्रभ
आया
आया
परया
परया
तो
तो
सरनाए नानक
नानक की
की
प्रभ
प्रभ
बेनती
बेनती अपनी
अपनी
भगति
लाए
लाए
नानक
की
की
प्रभ
प्रभ बेनती
बेनती अपनी
अपनी
भगति
भगति
लाए
लाए ਸਤਨਾਮ ਸ੍ਰੀ ਵਾਹੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਜੇ ਜੁਗ ਚਾਰੇ ਆਰ ਜਾ ਹੋਰ ਦਸੂਣੀ ਹੋਏ ਨਵਾਂ ਖੰਡਾ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਣੀਐ ਨਾਲ ਚੱਲੈ ਸਭ ਕੋਏ ਚੰਗਾ ਨਾਉ ਰਖਾਇ ਕੈ ਜਸ ਕੀਰਤ ਜਗ ਲੈ ਜੇ ਤਿਸ ਨਦਰ ਨਾ ਆਵੇ ਤਵਾਤ ਨਾ ਪੁੱਛੈ ਕੇ ਕੀਟਾ ਅੰਦਰ ਕੀਟ ਕਰ ਦੋਸੀ ਦੋਸ ਧਰੇ ਨਾਨਕ ਨਿਰਗੁਣ ਗੁਣ ਕਰੇ ਗੁਣਵੰਤਿਆ ਗੁਣ ਦੇ ਜੇ ਜੁਗ ਚਾਰੇ ਆਰ ਜਾ ਹੋਰ ਦਸੂਣੀ ਹੋਏ ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ।
ਪਰਮ ਸਤਿਕਾਰਯੋਗ ਗੁਰੂ ਖਾਲਸਾ ਸਾਧ ਸੰਗਤ ਜੀ, we are blessed to be in the presence of Sri Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj, those 1430 angs that make up the form of Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj at this time, whose teachings are an amplification, an expansion, an explanation as contained in Sri Japji Sahib. And we're so very blessed to be here today as Guru Sahib's guests in their palace, in their Dharamsal, in the Gurudwara, to come together, to learn together from the teachings as contained in Japji Sahib. And last week, Guru Nanak was teaching us through their adventures with the Siddhas, when they visited the Siddhas on the side of the mountains. And the Siddhas were saying to Guru Nanak that come with us to places of pilgrimage. Come with us on Teerths, the 68 places of pilgrimage, where if you go there, you can become pure. And Guru Nanak gave the teaching that you can go to all of the places of pilgrimage. You can go to all of the places and bathe externally. But if you are not pleasing to the Creator, if you are not pleasing to Karta Purakh, then what of it? What will be of any avail to you? The Siddhas have tried to tempt Guru Nanak by offering gems, rubies and jewels, in the hope that Guru Nanak would be taken in by Maya in this way. And Guru Nanak is saying that all of these things, these worldly attachments, you can get all of these things just by taking on board one teaching from the Guru's Darbar. Mat vichratana javahar manik je ek gur ki sikh suni. Just by listening to one teaching from the Guru. And the Siddhas, these teachings are being passed on by Guru Nanak to the Siddhas, and they are growing ever more curious. And so we start this vichar together as brothers and sisters before the presence of Guru Nanak. And the Siddhas now are trying again to tempt Guru Nanak. They are hoping that through offering of spiritual powers and gifts to Guru Nanak, that again they can try and attempt to win him over, that he may convert to their order, that he may then worship them and bring more people into their fold. The Siddhas are trying to tempt Guru Nanak with their spiritual powers. Unbeknownst to the Siddhas, Guru Nanak is that form of that formless one. They are the giver of all gifts. They are the one that has bestowed all gifts upon the whole of creation, having first created it so. And so the Siddhas now say to Guru Nanak that if you join our order, we will teach you the ways to extend your life beyond what normally can be said. We will teach you to take your breaths and extend your breaths so that one breath can last for significantly longer than normal. And you will live a life as long as the four ages. What are the four ages? We understand that time to be not in a straight line, as we're taught in the West, but actually time is cyclical and actually rotates through four separate ages, which are referred to in ancient philosophy as Satyug, Tretayug, Dwaparyug, and Kaljug. And each one of these ages is hundreds of thousands of years long. We are currently in the fourth age, which is known as Kaljug. Kaljug itself is the shortest of the four yugs. And the Sidhs are saying to Guru Nanak that if you join our order, we will teach you how to extend your breath. And in this way, you will be able to, through our yogic practices, you will be able to live a life longer than the four ages. You will have fame, you will have material wealth, and everybody will know who you are. And it's at this point that we pick up the katha with the Sidhs making these temptations before Guru Nanak Hanji.
Je jug chare arja hor dasuni hoy.
Guru Nanak has been offered this temptation that we will make your life so long that it will be longer than the four ages. And Guru Nanak says, Jai Jug Chare Arja. Jai Jug, if the four Juga Char Juga Arja, if my umr, if my age is becoming so long as the four ages, Hor Dasunni Hoy. And even if you was to times that by 10, so if you add the four ages together, it's about 4.3 million years. That's how long the four ages are collectively when they're combined. And Guru Nanak is saying, if you add those four ages together to 4.3 million, and you times it by 10, so you get like 43 million years. And even to this 43 million, you add the original four that you tried to tempt me with. I'm not a mathematician, but we're looking at about sort of 47.3 million years long. Guru Nanak is saying, Jai Jug Chare Arja Hor Dasunni Hoy. Even if you was to give me a life so long as this, what of it? Says Guru Nanak. If you have not got the blessings, if you are not pleasing to the Creator, even having a life so long as this will not bear you any fruit. You cannot be liberated simply through prolonging your life. And it reminds us of a time of Sri Guru Gobind Singh Ji, when they gave this wonderful teaching. The Khalsa had just been victorious at the Battle of Muktsar Sahib. Bhai Maha Singh had just had their Badawa, their Chitti torn up. That's a different history, but we haven't, because of time constraints, we won't have time to delve into this. And Guru Gobind Singh Ji with the victorious Khalsa are moving on from the battlefield to find a place to encamp, searching for a place where water would be available to serve the Singhs and the Singhaniya that may have been injured or wounded during the battle. And they find themselves upon the riverside, and across the river there lives an ascetic, a yogi who through sadhana had extended their breath. So we understand from Vedic practices, we understand from ancient philosophy, that one way that you can extend your life is through taking your breath up into your Dasam Dwar, which is that place where we tie our bunga, where we tie the star, which is above our head. Because the number of breaths is preordained as we come into this world. As we've all learned from an early Bodhi, vi karmi ave kapara, that your karma has determined the way in which you've come into this world, the clothes, in terms of your good fortunes that you're bringing into this world. And so the number of breaths which we all have is preordained. And the Sidhs, understanding this, trying to sort of extend their life, knowing they couldn't increase the number of breaths they were going to be given, had found a way to make each breath last longer, so that their physical life would be longer, even with the same number of breaths. And this ascetic, at the time of Guru Gobind Singh Ji, across the river had done just this, and nobody in fact even knew how old he was. The fame of Guru Gobind Singh Ji and then the Shan Sahib that was bringing righteousness and truth across the plains of India when this vicious regime was being met out by the Mughal emperor at the time had meant that the yogi had come to know the name of Guru Gobind Singh Ji. And so when the Khalsa came across, venturing out and exploring, the ascetic spoke with the Singhs and asked questions about this warrior, Guru Gobind Singh Ji, that was also regarded as the greatest, most pious of saints. And they asked the Singhs, how old is Guru Gobind Singh Ji? And the Singhs say to the saints that Guru Gobind Singh Ji is about 30, their physical body is about 35 years. And at this point, this ascetic, this yogi, he looks in confusion and rejection almost. He says, I've got no business going to visit someone who's only 35 years old. What wisdom can this person possess? Because the teaching was that the Siyane would be elderly, that the wisdom can only come through old age. And in this way, he sort of rejects the Singhs, and the thought to go and see Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj is removed from his mind. The Khalsa, they go back to Guru Gobind Singh Ji, accompanied by some of the devotees of this yogi. And they go back and report to Guru Sahib about this ascetic across the river, whilst the Singhs are paying respects and doing namaskar, paying their salutations to Guru Sahib. Also, some of the devotees of the holy ascetic are present. And hearing that the ascetic is not wishing to come and see Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj, Guru Sahib is smiling and they're speaking lovingly amongst the Khalsa, and they go on to explain the history of this yogi who has not yet physically come into the presence of the Guru. And he speaks to them that he's very, very old. Through doing sadhana, through taking his breath to his dasam dwar, that he'd extended his life and that he was very, very old. The devotees said to Guru Gobind Singh Ji that this is true. In fact, we do not even know the actual age of this ascetic. To which point Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj remarks that he's 5,120 years old. And the devotees are completely shocked that how is it that Guru Gobind Singh Ji is able to know the age of my master, my devote, my lord, if you will. But we do not. And they go back and speak to the yogi who's equally impressed. And he seeks his heart. He searches his heart and decides that actually it's time to go and see Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj. It is said in our Itihas, as narrated by Gyani Gurbachan Singh Ji, that as the yogi comes into the Guru's Darbar, the Sangat and Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj, what are they doing? They are reading Rehras. They are reciting Rehras together in the form of Sangat, such that the yogi has to stand and wait to have an audience with Guru Sahib. We mustn't forget this, because when we come to the Gurdwara, we don't understand the value of sitting in Sangat and listening to Rehras. Every single day, the Guru opens their Darbar and they have a prescribed timetable that Rehras will be in the Gurdwara at 6 p.m. My humble bainti to the Sad Sangat that this is where Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj resides in the form of Guru Sahib. We should take this opportunity to come to the Darbar, because it's not just in our history that Guru Sahib is present here whilst we recite Rehras. In fact, every time Rehras is being sung, every time the Shabad is being vibrated upon, we can say that Guru Sahib is present. And my humble suggestion, my humble bendi to the Satsangat, maybe we should have a little reflection and try and get to the Darbar a little bit earlier so that we can listen to the Shabad and be blessed with Guru Sahib's Rehras Bani, just like as this holy ascetic has waited 5,120 years to do. The holy ascetic falls at the foot of Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj, and he is still in disbelief, and he says to Guru Sahib, I don't understand how you've become so elevated in your spiritual status, how you've become one with Paramatma, you're only 35 years old. And Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj smiled The teaching was that he was not of that, that Guru Sahib was not of that body. And in fact, Guru Gobind Singh Maharaj went on to say that my body is new, but obviously that soul is timeless. And he looked at the yogi and said, I've got a new body. The only difference is you're in old rags. That you've kept this same body for 5,000 years, but that doesn't make our souls, that doesn't make your soul any younger or older than you might think it otherwise would be. Wisdom doesn't, in Sikh itihas, wisdom doesn't come just with old age. Wisdom comes with the Guru's bakshish. And we would do well to remember that, because oftentimes we look to just say that the siyane are people that we should respect. Yes, it is correct that if somebody is elderly and they've spent all of their days in the Guru's darbar taking teachings, that they've spent years doing this, they will have collected much learned knowledge. But even a young child is someone that we can learn from. Even someone of a young age who's got the Guru's bakshish is someone that we should have our ears open to, that we can take a teaching from. Jai Jug Chare Arja Hor Da Suni Hoi. Guru Sahib is saying that even if my life was to become longer than 10 ages and then 4 ages, 14 yugs coming together, Hor Da Suni Hoi. Hanji.
Nava Khanda Vich Janiya Naal Chalai Sab Koi.
Nava Khanda. Khanda, in this context, Guru Sahib is talking about continents. So in the West, we divide the world up on a map with a pen, and we say that there are 7 continents, because this is the Western understanding of education. In Eastern philosophy, they draw those lines differently. And they would say, historically, that in fact, there were not 7 continents, but in fact, there were 9. And Guru Sahib is saying, Nava Khanda, in the 9 continents, Vich Janiye, if everybody was to know who I was, Sarvanu Janadasi, in a whole of these different places, Nava Khanda Vich Janiye, Nala Chale Sabukoi, and everybody would come with me. If I would pass them, they would join my following, and they would follow me, and always be in the hem of my robe, if you like, always sort of following me. Guru Nanak Dev Ji is saying, Hanji.
Changa nao rakhai ka jas ki rat jagle.
That even if my name was very high, I've got a good name, Changa nao rakhai ka, my reputation has been well maintained. Jas ki rat jagle. Jas, to be praised. Ki rat, another form of praise. So Guru Sahib says, Jas ki rat. Just means that if you walk past someone and they say, you're a very good person, you're so amazing, and they sing your praises to your face, but then obviously you go past that person and they're left in the crowd and they're like, actually, he's doing X, Y, and Z. So sort of if you want false praise. But then if you walk past that person and they continue talking about you and they continue in their own circle, continue to sing your praises, that is a different form of vidyaya, a different form of glory. And Guru Nanak is saying that even in front of you, jas, and even behind you, kirata, jagale, the whole world is singing your praises, both to your face and also in your absence. Hanji.
Je tis nadar na aavei, tavat na puchhae ke.
This is the teaching that Guru Nanak is coming, bearing forth. Je tis nadar na aavei. That if you do not, even in the midst of all of this, as recited just a moment ago, that if you have got a name that is very, very high, that everybody is singing your praises across the entire world, all of the 9 continents, you've lived for millions of years, jetis nadarna ave, even if this, but if you do not have that glance of grace, if Waheguru Paramatma is not looking upon you favorably, if you are not pleasing to the Lord, jetis nadarna ave, nadar, if you haven't got that glance of grace, a time will come when nobody will ever ask of you. Nobody will ever care to know of your name or your reputation or who you were and what you did. You can be, even you can go so far as to venture forth, you can be a very good person and you can do lots of good deeds. So Guru Sahib isn't just talking about people that are chasing fame for the sake of it. It cuts a little bit deeper and our egos might not like to hear this. But Guru Sahib is saying, even if you're a good person, changa naura kaike, so with good reason you've got a good name, Just kīra ta jagale. And people praise you perhaps even because of your good deeds and your good actions. Jetis nadar na ave. Without the blessings of Paramatma, without yourself being pleasing to them, tavat na pucheke. A time will come when no one will ever ask of you. Why is this so? Because the nature of the human condition is such that when we do good things, when we behave in a positive way that may have people praising us, what happens inside is our whole man, our ego starts to develop. And we start to think of ourselves as, yeah, I've done something really good. I'm actually an amazing person. And when this starts to happen, that ego starts to develop. And that ego, Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj explains to us, is actually a disease. It's actually the biggest thing that stops us from merging with Waheguru. So we have Panchjor, we have five thieves that constantly rob from us: lust, anger, ego, attachment and jealousy. But the biggest of those five is ego. That notion that, hey, yo, I'm important, I exist. And it's for this reason that we have people chasing this world for their name to become so very high. We have people chasing for a long life so that they can go on to conquer the world and spread their name all over it. If you look at today's modern age, it's all about how many Instagram followers we have, how many Facebook likes we might get on a page. And we're constantly refreshing the page, looking at pages to see if our greatness is growing unto our own mind. This is our ego. And so, even if we do good things, without the blessings of Paramatma, we will fall in ego. But this is the key, Sadh Sangatji. If Guru Sahib gives us their blessings, they can take away our ego. And this is what we say, Guru de Kirpa Dhanav. So when someone asks you, when someone praises us and says, you've done something really amazing today, we should put our hands together and say, nay, we've not done anything, be Guru de Kirpa. By the blessings of the Guru, I've been allowed to do this. With the blessings of the Guru, I have been able to do something positive. With the blessings of the Guru, this has been done through me, we can say. And with this attitude, what we are doing is we're removing ourselves from having undertaken this task. And we're actually saying we're just a dog. Just like a dog is on a leash, really it's the master in control of which way that dog roams and what actions it might undertake and complete. Guru Sahib says themself, Hamaku kar tere darbar, that in your darbar, I'm just a dog. That is the humility of Guru Nanak. That as great as they were, the form of the Timeless One, they were teaching us that we should follow in their footsteps. Ete ku kar ho begana, pauka istantai, bhagat hina nanak jai hoega, ta khasame nana jai. Guru Nanak says it so beautifully that it can't help make you wonder just what they actually were and the depths of their being. They said, ete ku kar ho begana. Guru Nanak is saying in Shabad Azhar, ete ku kar bi, I'm just a dog, Guru Nanak is saying, and I'm barking from my belly. Ham ete ku kar ho begana, pauka istantai. That even amongst other dogs, even other dogs won't have me in their company, Guru Nanak is saying. That even the lowly animals of dog, they're saying if there's a collection of dogs, even they would deny me to be in their company. That's how lowly I am, Guru Nanak is teaching us. Obviously they are not low, they're the highest of the high. But they're teaching us that path. We can never speak of Guru Nanak as lowly. But this is their teaching to us. Following this way, Guru Nanak is saying, even amongst dogs, I am an outcast. Bhagat hina nanak jai hoega. I've done nothing in my life, but I know one thing, ta khasame nauna jai. But when I call your name, I know that this will go with me. Guru Nanak is saying, that I am so lowly, even amongst dogs, I am an outcast. I've done nothing good in my life, but when I call your name, I know one thing to be true, that this will be perfect, this is sublime, that this will always carry me through. So the teaching is, jetis nadar na ave. It's if you don't obtain the blessings of Paramatma, it doesn't matter what you do. Jetis nadar na ave tavat na pucheke. Just like that ascetic, he'd lived for 5,000 years. Because he'd lived so long, what of it, says Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj? If you haven't got the blessings of the Sadguru, If you haven't had a chance to walk into Guru Gobind Singh Ji's Darbar while they're reciting Rehras, to hear that beautiful vibration, to stand in the Sadh Sangat and be blessed, then what of your 5,120 years? And it actually reminds you of another Sakhi Sadh Sangat Ji. We're going back now to the time of Siddhi Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, the fifth form of Guru Nanak, and they're just outside the Darbar Sahib. And the Sangat is so lovingly, with such devotion, they're digging a sarovar. They're digging into the ground, but as per the Guru's instructions. They're making a... For what reason? No one will know until this Sakhi is going to bear, until these actions were going to bear forth. And as they go deeper, they find that they've dug very, very deep into the foundations. And they happen upon what can only be described as like an unnatural formation in the clay, as they're digging deep into the soil. And they find like a door. And they keep digging it and keep excavating around this cave, the sort of entrance, if you like, way beneath the ground. And they go back and report to Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, this is what we've come across. And Guru Sahib goes forth and joins the Sangat that is digging deeply and devotionally into the ground. And they say to Guru Nanak, they say to Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, what is this? But of course, Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, they're not surprised. And with some work, they manage to pry open this door, and inside they find a yogi. A yogi is sitting in the ground, deep beneath this, the earth's surface, and they're deep in tapasya, they're deep in their sadhana, they're deep in their yogic postures. And after a while, the yogi comes to, and he wakes up out of his sadhana, and he says, what age am I in? It sounds like something out of Back to the Future. He says, what year is this? And who is the form of Paramatma on this earth? And the Sikhs, they're looking shocked. All look shocked, perhaps, except Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj. And the Sikhs say, we are now in the age of Kaljug. And that form of God on this earth is Guru Arjan Dev. They sit on the takht, they sit on the throne of Guru Nanak. And at this point, the yogi looks at Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj and he's become very shocked. He's looking at Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj. It's like he's waiting so very long. Guru Arjan Dev Ji gives them agya to beckon forth the words to explain their history. And he goes on to explain, I'm a yogi. And my time was that of Treta Yuga. Hundreds of thousands of years earlier. They were from the second age. They had been told by their guru that they would not get mukti. That they would not get liberation from anybody in their current surroundings, but if they meditated, that in the age of Kaljug, that the form of God would come to this earth, and that your karma is such that you need to wait for Guru Nanak to come to the earth, and that in this age you will be blessed. So this yogi falls at the feet of Guru Nanak in the fifth form, Guru Arjan Dev Ji, and he begs for mukti, and Guru Arjan Dev Ji liberates them. That place is called Santokh Sar. Even today you can go to the Gurdwara. It's a stone's throw from Darbar Sahib, the Golden Temple. It's one of the five sarovar that are outside and adjacent to one of the four other sarovar that are just outside Darbar Sahib. And it's called Santokh Sar because that yogi was given contentment after hundreds of thousands of years of living and waiting for Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj to come forth. So the teaching is that no matter what you do, you can live for thousands of years. You can be a yogi and you can meditate and extend your breath. You can even do good deeds, charitable deeds, acts of compassion. But without the blessings of the Guru, without going before the Guru and begging in their charan and obtaining their blessings, that a time will come when all of it will have been of no avail. And the Sidhs ask Guru Nanak as he speaks his Bhangati, Jetis Nadarna Aveita Vatana Pucheke. They say, what happens if you fall in ego? If you do good things or whatever you do and you become a very arrogant person, such that you've got to live for a long time? And they ask Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj, what happens if you fall in ego in this way? You do perhaps good deeds, But you become arrogant because of your ways, because the Guru hasn't blessed you and taken away your ego. Hanji.
Kita andar kita kar dosi dos tare.
Guru Nanak says, Kita andar kit kar. Those people that get consumed by ego, that think, hey, I've done something, that I've become the greatest of the great, they become the insects that live within other insects. Like maggots might live inside other animals, and they will forever be blaming each other, and they will be blameworthy themselves because they are responsible for their own condition. Every week, Satsang, we come into the Guru's Darbar and we say we're blessed to be in the presence of Guru Nanak. And we say that we've not come here through our own accord, because we're practicing that teaching, we are not responsible for coming here. The moment we go home and think, I've done a good thing today, I have decided to go to the Gurdwara, I have decided to go and take the Guru's blessings, we have fallen in error. Because actually, as we've said time and time and again, and we will, with the blessings of the Guru, continue to say, nobody has come here through their own volition. We come into the Guru's Darbar because the Guru has permitted us. If you are blessed to have a chance to sit down and listen to Katha, it is because the Guru has given you that bakshish. You could be anywhere right now. And most Thursday nights, most of us will probably be somewhere else. And that only seeks to evidence the fact that actually we're not here through our own volition. If you have a chance after the Katha to listen to the Guru's Hukumnama and get blessed by it, or to go downstairs, and if you're lucky enough to serve the Sadh Sangat Langar, if you're lucky enough to have a chance to sit in the Guru's Hazuri and afterwards go and serve the Blessed Sangat, then you should never say that I've done this amazing thing. What we should do is put our hands together and say, Guru Sahib, thank you. Thank you so much for blessing me with this opportunity. Thank you so much for putting the thought in my mind. And thank you so much for blessing me with the good fortune to allow me to serve. And if we attach this attitude to our mind, then we are not acting. We're not acting at all. Forget acting in ego. We're accepting that we're not acting. We're saying that we are the Guru's arms, we are the Guru's khalsa, and that Guru Sahib, you are acting through us. Kita andar kit kar. If we are to act in ego and attach ourselves to our actions and become full of ego, Guru Sahib is saying that we will suffer immensely. And they use this bandhi to illustrate just how. Kita is a snake, one of the lowest of life forms. Andar kit kar. And they're saying that even like animals that will live inside a snake and suffer and eat away, it's such a low, lowly, demoralizing way to exist. This will be the fortune of those that fall with ego. And it reminds us of Asakhi, a teaching given to us by Satya Pacha, the sixth form of Guru Nanak, Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji Maharaj. Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji Maharaj, they are just outside Ferozpur, and they're traveling with the Sikhs. And they enter into an area which is like a jungle. And as they're beckoning forth, this very, very large snake comes forth. And by Bidhi Chand, who's a blessed Gursikh, who served very well in the Guru's Darbar, he speaks to Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji and says, Maharaj, should we change direction? Because before us is this huge snake and it could pose a threat, could pose a problem. Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji Maharaj, in their way, in their own moj, they say, nay, we're coming here to save that snake. And that snake is coming towards me to seek out my sanctuary. And in this way, he beckons by Bidhi Chand, that blessed Gursikh, to give him a path, to give the snake a path. And the snake very slowly comes forward and it places its head upon the Pavitra Charan, upon the blessed feet of Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji Maharaj. As he places his head on the feet of Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji Maharaj, the snake passes. It's like the soul leaves the body. And the complete body of the snake splits open. And inside, there's different accounts, but Baba Hari Singh Ji, Randhave Wale, in Gurbani Arth Pandar, they write that inside was completely riddled with thousands, millions of kire, like animals that were eating away at the flesh of this snake. And as the soul comes out of the body, Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji gives that soul permission to speak. And the soul speaks forward and explains how he's ended up in his condition to Bhai Bidhi Chand and the Sikhs. He explains that in his previous life, he was a very respected renunciate, if you like, a spiritual person. And that he had obtained many spiritual powers through his own sort of sadhana, his spiritual actions. And people would worship him. He would say to people that, if you give me your money, if you pay me, I can give you blessings. He even made promises that he could liberate people's souls. He told people to worship him. And he was attaching people to his own worship, to his own following. And he has become completely attached to Maya. It was for this reason, to material wealth. And so because of this, he is asking people to give him money. He's eating from the houses of people and saying, give me what you have and I can do this for you. I can give you these offerings. And when he comes to leave this world, he lives a very long life also. Just like Guru Nanak is talking about, what of it in terms of the value of a long life. This particular renunciate, he's living a very, very long life. One that's very famed. People would think of him and know him, and his following had grown long and deep in his congregation. And so when he comes to pass, what he is thinking about is the money and all of this world and all of the wealth that he's going to leave behind. And Bhai Gurdas, he talks about the importance of your dhyan, where your concentration is. And in fact, he goes on to explain, Bhai Gurdas Ji, a respected scholar, they were in fact the mamma of Guru Arjan Dev Ji as well. And their writings are contained in their vara called Bhai Gurdas Ji Vara, affectionately referred to as Bhai Gurdas Ji Vara. And Bhai Gurdas Ji goes on to explain that what you think about in the moment that you leave this world has a massive consequence on where you will go and what will happen to you in your next life. And they go on to explain that if you think about money and maya and material wealth, then you will have to come back in your next life as a snake, which is the lowest of life forms. For many reasons, but to recount a few reasons, the snake's life form is a very long life. You're always crawling on your belly, the sun is beating down upon you, and you are everybody's enemy. No matter what you have or haven't done, someone sees a snake and they want to bash his brains out. It's a horrible life to live. And so because this spiritual person was thinking about money, he has had to come in the form of a snake. When he dies, all of those followers that had been duped into thinking that he was a form of God, or that he was a real spiritual person, they were attached to his worship. And just as they were attached to his worship in falsehood in their lives as human beings, now that he has come back as a snake, they're still attached to him. They have a relationship together. They are bound together because of their karam. And so just as he was eating from their houses when he was a false person, now those disciples are eating from him. And so they've taken the form as maggots, as insects, and they are eating from him. And that soul has said that, I've had to suffer long and arduous life. I've been suffering, I'm being eaten literally from the inside out by those people that I've made promises to, by those people from whose houses I have consumed and taken their wealth. And now they are eating from me. But because I'm blessed now to be before a Sadguru, because I'm blessed now to be on the charan of Guru Har Gobind Sahib, now I've been set free. And Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji, so great as they are, so great is Sahib Sri Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji Maharaj, they also, with a blessing, with their nadar, jetis nadar na ave, without the blessings of the Guru, we've heard, what will come of you? Nothing. But with the blessings of the Guru, Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji liberated all of those thousands and millions of Kira as well. They were all blessed to go forth and be at peace. Sadh Sangat Ji, this is so very important. And whilst this is the time of, this Sakhi is the time of Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji, even to this day, We have Pakandi Babbe. We have false prophets who disguise themselves as people whom should be respected. There are people that have looked at the form of Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj even, and the Khalsa Panth, and they look at this blessed uniform that's been given to us by Guru Sahib Kalgita Pacha, and they have taken on that form. And even to this day, they will give their own teachings, or they will actually take you away from the teachings of the Guru, Pakandi Babbe. They will attach you to their own worship. And we should be so very careful. Because this is one of the very rare examples where we say, but hang about, those people, those disciples, they were innocent. But actually they were blameworthy because they chose to close their mind from the truth. And if you close your mind and you close your eyes from the Sadguru, and you walk past the Guru's Darbar and find yourself worshipping a false person, a Pakandi Baba, someone who's attaching you to their own house, then you are to blame if you walk past the Guru's Darbar. And Guru Nanak Dev Ji is saying to us, Kita andar keet kar, dosi dostare, that if you suffer an ego and if you don't find yourself the true Sadguru, which is Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj, the form of God on this earth, the timeless form of God in the Shabad, and you go to a false place, that you will have to come back as a maggot, you will have to come back as an insect, and you will still have the company of that false person. You will still have to pay back that karam, because just as you've given them money to give you a blessing of a marriage, or you've given them money to give your children, to give you children, or whatever it is that you, this person or these people may promise you, just because that person has eaten from your house, that you will have to continue to eat from them in the afterlife or in your next life to come. So the Sidhs now, they're curious further, and they say, we understand this teaching, but how is it that we can avoid this? How can we avoid the pitfall of ego? How can we avoid having to come back and live in this terrible world ocean and suffer in pain and duality? And Sri Guru Nanak again has the perfect answer. Hanji.
Nanak nirgun gun kare gunvantaya gun de.
Sri Guru Nanak says to the Sidhs that if you want to avoid this terrible suffering of having to come back again in any form, then Guru Nanak says, nirgun kur kare gun kare gunvantaya gun de. We sing the praises of Paramatma, but always do Simran. Always do Simran on the Guru Mantra. But while you're doing that, in your own mind, have this thought be, I'm nirgun. I don't have any virtues. Gun is virtue. Nir means the negative. So Guru Nanak has said to the Sidhs, do Simran. Meditate on the Lord's name. Call out to Waheguru, but at the same time, have this thought in your mind, be nirgun gun kare, gun vantiya gun de. In your mind, think that you have no virtues. Free yourself from ego that I've done something amazing, that I'm special. Say to yourself in your mind as you're calling the Paramatma's name, I'm nirgun, I don't have any virtues. Gun kare, but Paramatma has given me the gun. That Paramatma, He Sache Patsha, Guru Nanak, you have given me the virtues. And through so doing, gunavantiya gunade, that you've made me one of virtue. Actually, sorry if I could take that back. That you, I am one without any virtue, but you are the one that gives the virtues, we can say. Nanak nirgun, I am nirgun, I don't have any virtues. Gun kare, but you are the giver of all virtues. You are the giver of all virtues to me, who has no virtue. You are also the giver of virtues to those that are high. Gunavantiya, those people that are very highly, you are the giver of virtues to them as well. So Guru Nanak is explaining that if you consider yourself lowly as you do Simran, if you consider yourself humble at the feet of Guru Nanak and accepting of the fact that we have no virtue, but Paramatma Waheguru, that Paramatma Waheguru in the form of Guru Nanak, then they give us virtues. They can take you from a very lowly place and you will be liberated. Such also, Guru Nanak goes on further, that for those people that are liberated, that are elevated, that are great, for example, great saints, whom we shouldn't confuse with Pakhandi Babbe. Great saints like who? Baba Deep Singh Ji Maharaj. Like Baba Buddha Ji. Like Sant Jarnail Singh Ji Khalsa Pindranwale. That even these great saints, Guru Nanak says, those people we can call Gunabantiya, they have virtue inside them. Where do they get their virtues from? And how can they progress further? Even if you're in an elevated status, the one that gives you the ability to progress further still is Paramatma. So, rather complicated, just to summarize, that Pankti, Guru Nanak is saying, to keep yourself lowly. Think of yourself as without any virtue as you do Simran. And even those that are of virtue, they should also remember that though they may be of virtue, to become even further virtuous still, it is from the blessings of Paramatma. Or we can say, Sabana jiyata ikadata, so me visarana jai. From an earlier pankti, we can say that the whole of creation and all of the ji in this world, that they are all receiving the gifts from the one giver. Hanji.
Teha koe na sujai, jai tis gun koe kare.
The Siddhas say to Guru Nanak, we've understood this teaching. You're saying Guru Nanak that one can make people who have no virtue become virtuous, and that those who are virtuous can become even more virtuous still by the blessings of Paramatma. But is there anybody that bestows virtue upon Paramatma, upon that Supreme Soul, that most compassionate being, which is Waheguru, the creator of this all? Teha koe na suji. Guru Nanak replies to the question, be teha koe na suji. There is none that can do suji. Suji means to bestow. There is none that can, teha koe na suji, jete se guna koe kare. There is none that can claim to be able to bestow virtues upon the form of God. There is none that can say, actually today I have done something for God. This is a different way we can take this. Sometimes, again, we fall into ego. And we pick up a Gurkha Sahib and we say in our mind, we're going to do Japji Sahib now. This is for you, God. That you're going to somehow bestow this gift to God. You're going to make this as an offering, if you like. But in so doing, what are we saying? That Paramatma, again from an earlier body who we know, are pe'ab, and they are completely detached and independent from this world. Are pe'ab and nirinjan soy. They are completely independent and outside of Maya. What do they need from us? How can we possibly say that we are giving something to Paramatma? No. When we say this, we're acting in ego. Because what we're saying is there's me and there's God, and I'm going to give this to Paramatma. When we can understand that actually, whenever we are doing something, though in our on the very first steps of this spiritual path, this loving, beautiful relationship of love with God, we might say in our minds, I'm doing this for God. But on a higher level, what we should understand is that really and truly, Paramatma doesn't need anything from us. It's all to gain and nothing to lose. When we serve in the Guru's Darbar, it's not that Paramatma will somehow be better off for our offerings, or that their house will be somewhat more richer. No. Because they are infinite and they are beyond. Really and truly, it is all to gain. It is all for us to gain it. And even in their infinite compassion, when we are offering something to Paramatma, and I put that in inverted commas, when we are offering something, really what we are doing is we are taking something. And it's really interesting to just finish on this point, because oftentimes we're blessed to have a chance to serve with those wonderful Gurmukhs that do the seva of the homeless in central London. There's a charity called SWAT, the Sikh Welfare and Awareness Team. And they go out on the streets of London every night and they serve people who are in quite a destitute position. And often we get to see people from outside the Sikh community that don't necessarily have a chance to do seva every single day because they're not a part of the Guru's regular Sangat, we can say. And so when they come to do seva, in their minds they have this attitude that I'm going to do something for someone today. That actually I'm going to give someone something from me. And during the course of the service, they might have this attitude, so this is great, this is fantastic, I'm doing something for someone else. And I like to speak with these people to see what their experience is, their first experience of doing langar seva is. And almost always, they say something which perhaps they haven't thought about as much as I have now. They say, I feel like I've received so much more than I've given. They say that actually through going out and giving all of these people this food, I've received some sort of nourishment, that I've received something. Because when we do seva, when we make, again, I'll say the word offering, we understand as sangat that I don't mean, because we cannot make any offerings in the Guru's Darbar. But when we come to the Guru's Darbar, we try and make an offering of seva. We bring our bodies forth and we might serve the Guru's Sangat. Or we bring our minds forward and we offer our head to the Guru. We are the ones that are going to receive everything. We are the ones that are going to receive so much blessings. And so Guru Nanak is saying, Teha koi na suji, jete suguna koi kara. There I know of none, or there is none, that can say that they are the ones that have bestowed any virtue upon Waheguru. So the teachings from this Bauri this week, which has been given to us, which we've been blessed with by Guru Nanak, is that even if you was to live for millions of years, even if your name was to be recognized the world over and people would sing your praises, even if you're a good person such that people sing your praises and your reputation goes so very high, that it means nothing, it's all for nothing, if you don't have the glance of grace of Paramatma. Because without the blessings of the Guru, and this is the key point, when we do these things, we will obtain ego. We will become arrogant. I have done something great. But with the blessings of the Guru, our ego can be taken away, and then those actions become fruitful. They become nishkamta, they become selfless, they become nishkam, without any desire. You're not doing them because you have done something good. You'll understand that Guru Sahib has blessed us with this opportunity to serve. And that if the way that we can become nishkamta, that we can become selfless, is that we should do nanaka nirgun gun kare gunavantiya gunade. That we should do simran, we should sing Waheguru's praises, and at the same time keep a thought in our mind, be Paramatma, I am nirgun, I don't have any virtue. Gun kare, you are the givers of virtue, you are the giver of virtue. Gunavantiya gunade, and even those that are virtuous, you are the ones that bestow them still. This is the teaching that has been brought forth by Sri Guru Nanak. Next week, with Guru Sahib's kirpa, and these words will hopefully mean something new now. With Guru Sahib's kirpa, we may be blessed to come together, not through our own efforts, but with Guru Sahib's kirpa, we'll be able to do katha vichar, we'll be able to learn together about the importance of listening and how this can help us spiritually grow towards Guru Nanak, help us grow spiritually towards our origin, our root, which is the formless one. And we're going to be going through the importance of listening. Guru Nanak splits this up over four Bauriya. About 10% roughly of Japji Sahib speaks about the importance of listening. So humble Benti Satsangat that we all do Ardas to Maharaj, be Maharaj, please bless us. Without your blessings, we are nirgun, we have no virtue. Please give us your blessings. Please invite us into your darbar and give us your wonderful virtue that we can come together and learn. I'm sure I've made many, many mistakes trying to speak to you about the glory of Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj, about the teachings of Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj at Santokh Sar, about the teachings of Guru Nanak Dev Ji as they talk about the value of the name and wealth. Please, please give me your blessings. You are the Sad Sangat. Give me your blessings that one day we can properly, fully sing the praises of Guru Nanak. Deho sajan asisariya
jo hove sahib syo mel. Nanak nirguna gun kare gun vantya gun de teha koi na sujai jetis gun koi kare. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh.